Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And now, your main event, introducing the hosts of Wrestling with Freddie, Jeff Dye, and Freddie Prinze Jr.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. It's episode 2, season 2 of Wrestling with Friends. And my host today,
ladies and gentlemen, coming to us live from SummerSlam, on the scene reporter, Mr. Jeff Dye. Jeff, I hear it's amazing out there. What's the situation in Nashville?
It was a great trip. Thanks for sending me out here, Freddie. It was very beautiful to watch the SummerSlam live and in person here in Nashville. We had 48,000 people in attendance, if you believe in fake numbers. If you believe in real numbers, a lot less. But it's wrestling. We get to fudge the numbers. That's how it works. You know, that giant was 8 foot tall, you know, 9 million pounds.
I got to watch it on Le Peacock. That's French. I loved the show. I thought it was great. By the way, let's just get right into it. Let's start with Becky and Bianca. Real quick, I'll say what I thought of it, but you got to actually be there. So I just want to know like what that energy was like. But I loved this match. I thought Becky put Bianca over beautifully, the match they should have had. She somehow pulled off the crazy Becky even more effectively than Seth pulled off crazy Seth when they were both kind of going insane in their storylines at the same time, and maintained her evil wickedness. And then the match was over. And here comes Bailey with Io Shirai or Sky.
Now they changed it. Yeah, now she's going to be Sky.
And Dakota Kai, they came out with Bailey, and Bailey wasn't having it. The crowd seemed like they were hyped for her.
They wanted to cheer.
And then she's like, nah, F you, shut up. And she went right in the ring, which gave Becky this. I don't think she's going to turn face. I think she'll maintain like her stone cold badass heel kind of mentality, but she goes and gets Bianca's back and
yeah,
is like,
she
nah,
respects
man.
Bianca.
Yeah. I thought it was a nice story. I'm not saying I didn't like the crazy character she's been playing, but I feel like it's gone on a little too long. Like most WWE stories do, which is why Jericho changed his gimmick like every month. Cause he didn't want those guys to like dead everything he does. So I hope this is kind of the evolution of her into the next phase, and crazy Becky takes a break for a while. And she's kind of like found herself character wise again. What a way to open the show too. I love that they started the show and were like, now everybody else has to match that.
And I think that it was kind great.
Egotistical competition, healthy ego is really sets a bar high. And a lot, look, not every story they told to get there worked, but this one did. And the majority of that weight is on Becky for sure. She's the more capable actor. She has more experience in the ring. She's the veteran, and she's probably the most over female wrestler in the business. I don't even know if you
definitely
could argue
right
that.
Now.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like even in Japan, they probably got big love for her. You know what I mean? Even though Asuka's probably their number one or whoever it is. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly on her, and I thought she did this beautifully. And like I said before, I hope it's the end of the story, not in a bad way. I just don't want them to beat it until you're like, oh, my God, here's crazy Becky. And that can happen at that company.
But well, maybe not anymore. I'm not without maybe Vincey, not. I think, because here's something I noticed on Thursday. No dark match. Like I said, no open show. Becky and Bianca go out. They have a great match. It was exciting. It was all over. It's in the ring. It's out of the ring. You got to see a lot of good stuff. It was pretty cool. Then the respectful finish with the handshake, which I liked. That also might seem like there's kind of an end of a storyline there. And then when Bailey's. When that music hits and that stable comes out, also that says, ooh, Vince is gone. Because my buddy that was with me said that they've pitched that stable to Vince before and he rejected it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, months
Look
ago.
At you
they
with
pitched
the scoop. Our on-man reporter with the scoop,
yeah.
Jeff Dye.
See, I got in there. I'm doing my job. You put me to work. I'm going to work hard. So I guess they've pitched that stable to Vince before multiple times and as long as months ago. And Vince kept saying no. No, no. So what a way to start SummerSlam. You just get like the most over wrestler and the most over female wrestler for sure. A great match. The finish that I think most people wanted. And then also you get like a big surprise return. Like that's pretty fun. Like
every
wrestling.
Great, great open. You just reminded me of something. Can I tell you the coolest Io Shirai story ever?
Of course.
All right. So there was an episode of NXT. And I don't think it was a TV show. I think it was just a house show because this was like recorded on someone's phone. And Io Shirai's in a tag match and she's waiting for the hot tag to go in and some racist prick in the crowd, like just some a-hole douchebag. And so no business here. And you hear him yell, go back to China. And she throws a look over her shoulder and she goes, I'm Japanese, bitch. And then takes the tag and the whole crowd just swarms this guy verbally and just owns him and clowns and like, oh, ah, they're all over this poor bastard. And he's like, ah, I'm a racist piece of shit who got owned. It's such
he's
a beautiful.
He's so good at racism. He doesn't even know the difference between all the Asian countries.
Let's talk storytelling real quick in the ring and out of the ring with Baron Corbin and Pat McAfee. Celebrity matches are the hardest ones to pull off, unless you're The Miz. The Miz can make everyone look amazing. Shout out to Logan Paul. Well, let's get into that next.
Yeah, but, oh my gosh, Logan was great.
But this was a story where I felt, and we said this on the podcast, that Baron had to win, or Happy Corbin had to win.
Happy
not Baron.
Corbin.
Not the Baron. He had to win. I didn't see how they could do it. And based off the story leading up, I felt like that was the way to go. There was a point in the story building up to this where Corbin kicks McAfee dead in the balls. And what they did in the finish for this match in order to get a guy who's not a wrestler and not a good fighter. And everyone knows Corbin is a good wrestler and actually he's a legit black belt in jiu-jitsu. Like he's won tournaments. He knows what time it is, dude. He's no joke. So the only way to beat him would be for there'd have to be some sort of tomfoolery, some sort of evilness to go through. But the babyface can't do that. But he can get revenge. And so when the referee got hurt, I love when referees get hurt and the wrestlers have to turn their attention to the referee. And he turns his back. McAfee gets revenge and gets a sweet ball shot in there, helps him get the finish. 1, 2, 3. And I was actually like, yo, this was the one match I was going to hate. And I totally bought the finish.
Thank you.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Back in the old days when Josh Wolf and I were on Friends and the Wolf, everyone hated Logan Paul. This guy was going to suicide forests and making fun of people for wanting to kill themselves and end their life because they were in too much pain. Everyone hated this guy. And he was a kid, and kids do dumb stuff. And I did dumb stuff when I was a kid. But when you're streaming it all your mistakes are the biggest mistake of your life. And I've watched this kid over the years grow up, not just as we all do in age, but he's become more mature. And I've seen him do some interviews, which I'm sure were to change the narrative on him. But he seems to be walking the talk a lot more than just talking it. And then he said he was going to do WWE, and everyone groaned. Whether they groaned, it was an inside groan. They're like, yeah, okay, good luck. Inside, they're like, oh, here we go again, another celebrity match.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I felt. I was in no way rooting for Logan Paul.
In no way, shape, or form. I'm pulling for Miz all day long. I was like, I don't even know. I get why you're doing it, but come on, man. Let wrestlers wrestle. I never went and had a match. I never even pitched myself in a match because I don't feel we should. And then here comes this totally committed, good looking, pretty jacked son of a gun.
Yeah, he's jacked.
Bro. And he's full on 100% throwing caution to the wind. That one jump he did outside the ring. I mean, he landed
amazing.
So stiff, bro.
Frog splash.
I would have been in a hospital for 3 months if I would have landed like that. As hard as everyone's ever been on Logan Paul, and rightfully so, he deserves so much respect for the amount he committed. And I know he put in the time and energy because I know Miz. I've known him over a decade. He's been a guest on this podcast. I saw him at Lexi's wedding. Like, I know him. He sent videos to my kids and talked shit about me, their father. Like, I know him. So I know Logan put in the time that earned you the respect of other professional wrestlers. I'm sure there'll always be some that don't want guys like that in there. But shout out to Logan Paul, man. I have so much love for you. You brought everything. You left everything.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. I hope the next story they do for you is wonderful.
I loved this match. I thought it was super good. When I said I wasn't rooting for Logan Paul, I meant at WrestleMania. Like, I was like, ah, this, but he impressed me so much at WrestleMania that I was like, okay, all right, this guy's doing the work. He's got a good size, good body, good character. I liked the costume. I love the, he's just got a great look, you know?
And he, yeah, he did fits the black and wrestling. Yellow, Bruce Lee, black and yellow. Did he look good?
I'm still not sold on Miz. Every time I see The Miz, I go, ah, it's the real world guy. I mean, how long does The Miz have to be in wrestling before I stop talking about the real world?
The Miz is a tricky thing. So there's two guys, one in stand-up comedy and one in professional wrestling, that have a very similar story. And that's The Miz and Theo Vaughn. And Josh told me about Theo's entrance into comedy and how most people just hated him because he was a guy from the real world, Road Rules, and an outsider coming into their world. And a lot of people treated him like crap. And he stayed true to his game and really worked at it and stayed hard and good and generous to people. And then he did well. And Josh always spoke well of that journey and that climb. And I remember him telling me that and being like, yo, that's like step for step what happened to Miz. Like, people hated him in that locker room, didn't feel he deserved to be in there, to being one of the most beloved dudes in the company. I'm telling you, to this day, I'm not saying he's the best, but he's one of my all-time favorites, just on his willingness to make anyone and everyone look great and his ability to do so. He's not just willing, his ability to make you, like, if I had a match with Miz, you wouldn't think, because he would let me win, and you wouldn't think that I'd spend the next 3 months in traction, even though I clearly would. But it wouldn't be from anything he did to me, because he's just, I love him, dude. I know he's not for everybody, but I love him, and his work ethic is second to none.
I feel like when he speaks, I don't believe anything. I don't believe anything that comes, it's like...
But he's supposed to do that. You're supposed to think. That's why I think it's so. He's supposed to come off like a Hollywood fraud, fake scumbag that you just want to slap because everybody
he's like doing
says
an impression
is a lie.
Of a wrestler is what it feels like. You know, it's like, oh this no is way. Like a,
that I disagree with. We're
remember when he was on Real World? He was running around the house acting like he was The Rock. And he's
that was 20 years ago.
I know, but that's what I still see when he's running around the ring. Like, oh look who wants to be a wrestler.
Every show we do from now on, I'm going to just hit you with, like, your first joke that you ever told on stage that just popped and just reminds you of it every single week.
Well, I didn't put it on TV.
Jerk. Damn. Well, I'll find someone who recorded it. Don't make fun of people that don't need to be made fun of. Just keep that in the front of your head, bro, and you're going to be all right.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a Logan Paul bandwagon fan for sure. And I like that he put the frog splash in there. Bringing the frog splash back. It's always been one of my favorite moves.
I love the frog splash. That's a smooth transition. Here comes another smooth transition to my favorite frog splash in the game right now, which is Montez Ford. And that gets us to our tag match, where last week I was a bit confused as to why Jeff Jarrett was going to be the referee. Of course, at that moment, I forgot that it was in Nashville. And so now it makes a whole lot of sense.
but he was in two things for two different wrestling things on the same weekend. Confused a lot of people.
It did, but he's a legend and free to go wherever he wants. I still didn't think it was necessary to have him as the ref. But this, to me, was the most interesting match, not going in, although I was hyped to see it, but coming out, because I thought they overplayed their hand a bit. You know, when you're playing poker or any kind of card game where you're having to, like, hide your cards and the other person you just know has you beat and they're overplaying it and you're like, dude, you're not getting any more money out of me, man. I fold. You should have played that slow. They had Montez react negatively to what he felt were slow counts and show frustration so many times the way a patented WWE heel shows frustration and not the babyface frustration, which he showed every other time in his whole WWE career. I didn't want them to do this. I love tag team wrestling. Angelo's for sure not going to turn heel, and I'm sure he'll be the victim of Montez's turn. I don't know why you wouldn't keep Tez a babyface, because he's just such a babyface to me. But they're doing this and they're committed all the way, and you're not talking me off this. I don't think you could see it in the arena because you're getting to see the whole match. But on TV, it's a close up of Montez, like, pissed, angry, yelling at the ref. That was not how a babyface loses and expresses frustration. How'd the match play?
It was very, very good. And the energy for that was like jacked the whole time, which I think the Usos are just good at doing that. All this, like, just the energy in the whole place.
Usos
awesome.
Are studs, bro. They're both so wrestling
just coming
studs.
Out. They got huge hype. Like it was very awesome. Why does wrestling do this? Why does wrestling break up good tag teams? Remember when we were young, tag team was a tag team forever and a heel was a heel forever. Now they go, babyface heel. Oh, she switched back to a bad guy. Oh, 2 weeks later. Oh, no, she's actually a good guy. And now she's teaming up with someone she hated last month. It's always a heel turn, face turn, and then breaking up good tag teams. I don't understand it.
Well, part of that is your generation's fault for loving the Attitude Era so much. And that's why everybody switches back and forth every 3 months, because you tell every story in the universe in a 3 week time frame. So they ask you
so quick.
So I blame you and everyone in their 30s. Otherwise, Vince has said this, I don't know publicly, but he certainly said it to every writer and producer in the room every time we fought for tag team. It's four men for one match. And that's not cost effective.
Every match,
he's paying two men or two women to wrestle for one match. Now he's doubling his cost and he's still only getting one match.
Yeah.
So it's never been a cost effective thing for him to legitimately invest in a tag team division. And if you look back, he sort of never has, outside of like 6 months here and then 3 years, no one cares. And then 6 months here and then 3 years, no one cares. And they always break up the tag team to kind of end the tag team division. And then just two guys have it and a bunch of random guys team up once in a while to wrestle them until another tag team comes up and then they build them. And then those two go and all of a sudden, hey, there's a tag team division. And then they win the new title and the other team breaks up and one goes face and one goes heel and the division's gone again.
But it seems so like a good way to use your locker room. Because isn't there a ton of wrestlers that are just sitting around going, when am I going to get my thing? When am I going to get my thing?
Well, that was the smart argument that a lot of the writers made, which was, well, you're not opposed to doing random, you know, eight-man tags. Yeah. Why can't we just build a tag? And he's like, well, that's when we don't have story. And the writers are like, yeah, but we're giving stories. Yeah. It's just so you don't have to worry about that problem, because here's 12 just for these two guys alone. And then this guy over here, he wrote 7. Just for Primo and Carlito. But it just never was a philosophy that we could get through. And I don't know if that'll ever change. But I know with the amount of tag teams they have right now, between Street Profits, New Day, and the Usos, just those three, you have matches that people will watch and be compelled to watch all the time. And you can help build the less established ones. If you really want to try with Otis and Gable and you want to try and you know, give them some television time, say you feel they're worthy of it. You have three different teams to build them on, but four men, one match, even though he's willing to do eight-man tags every single week on Raw.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles, because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't mind it. I think, again, going back to my childhood, like I love a tag team. I love two dudes that dress alike, that do moves together.
Heart Foundation, you know? The Four Horsemen, the Hardys, Edge. Oh, wait, we got to talk Edge, bro. I loved the pop when he came out to the old school Edge fire entrance, like old school. I just, if Gangrel would have been like dropped from the ceiling, like, oh, it would have been amazing. But I loved that. And that was the biggest pop of that whole segment. Unfortunately, the match didn't get that much love, but they really did have to tell this story on the fly. And it is what it is. You can tell great stories, father-son stories. They're not able to right now, but I think a big part of that was due to injury. If it's not, then that's just on them. But I love seeing Edge come back. I love seeing him as a face. I want to see him destroy that faction that he built, because I don't like that faction at all. Yeah, I don't think it works. Yeah, I don't think it works. I don't think you can have Devitt as, or Finn Balor as the voice of that group. And I don't know if Damian Priest is 100% there, although he's pretty dope on the mic, man. He's speaking Spanish and English and just flowing in and out of it. So I like him. I just don't know. Once they had to take the leader Edge away, they should have just got disbanded the group and had them all turn on each other and figure something else out.
Let's talk about the Bobby Lashley.
Oh, let's talk, Austin. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. God, Bobby Lashley is, even from the distance I was sitting, that guy is a freak. That
bro,
body
my 12-year-old
is insane.
Is in love with him. My 12-year-old daughter is in love with him. She has a crush on him. She thinks he's the most gorgeous guy in the world.
Yeah,
she just
awesome.
Stares at the screen the way I stared at Tina Turner when I was her age, when she'd be seeing on screen. She loves, and she's open about it. She's like, that's my man right there. Like, she does not care. She loves Bobby Lashley. So I, in turn, love Bobby Lashley. He is that big.
Who did you think was going to win this match when it started?
I thought Bobby Lashley would win. Because Austin can afford to take that loss if he tries to cash in later that night. Who did you think was going to win?
That's what I thought would happen. And I was like, well, if Vince was still running things, I think Theory wins this match. And like, that's his big whatever. And then we don't see him use the Money in the Bank for a little while. It felt like Theory just got buried. It's what it felt like to me.
Don't you think that's okay, considering the story they're trying to tell with him?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think anything's okay. It just felt like I was like, ooh, this is interesting. Because now I'm so paranoid. I'm looking at everything through a lens of Vince isn't here anymore. I wonder if this is part of why, you know, so that's why I'm saying that.
I hear you. And Roman had a great promo where he said, your daddy's not here anymore.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And the crowd started going, who's your daddy? And on cue improv, he goes, I'm your daddy. And he just says it. So I think there could be something to that. However, I think the character of Austin Theory getting humbled again and again and again can lead to a more malicious and a better heel version of Austin Theory when he eventually does cash in. I think they did a similar thing with Miz the first time he was going to cash in, where he got, I could be wrong, it's historians out there who memorized every episode can help me out with this. But I feel like he was one of those guys who was just getting smashed on, smashed on, smashed on. And then when he cashed in, it was a much more like, I'll pay you back and here it is kind of finish. And it made him seem more credible. Theory's getting better on the mic every single week. And it's cool to watch, but it's also really scary because it's like bringing a double A baseball player up when you know it's too early and you're worried if they do poorly, they're going to go down forever and never have a chance to make it. So if Hunter hates him, then that could easily be the more likely scenario. But I don't think Hunter hates anybody there. I think he wants the company to get over. And theory can be good for business. His matches are good. He looks great. He just hasn't sunk into this character all the way yet. And in WWE, you learn on the job, which is so psycho, but it's the norm. That's their normal. In our lives, you don't get the chance to do
in that. Television, sometimes when there's like a president of a network, he'll have all of his shows, right? And then when he gets Me Too'd or he gets fired or for whatever reason, and the new group comes in, the new group doesn't have the same interest in investing in the shows that were already there, because those are those guys, that guy's shows.
They want to remember what happened at CBS.
Yeah. Oh, it happened to me at NBC. You know, it's a whole thing. The president leaves and they go, all right, all your shows are canceled. We're doing new shows. So I wonder if there's a part of that you just go, you know, we're going to keep the company. We're going to keep the guys. We're going to keep the thing, but we're going to do it our way. And it seems
very much
like
so, yeah,
that's what's happening. And also, like, there's this weight lifted off of, like, oh, all that fear that Vince brings into a room has also been relieved. There's like,
I can confirm that. I've heard that from a ton of people already.
Michael Cole seemed completely different. And then when he was asked about it, he's like, yeah, a lot's changed. Really? It's been 7 days, dude. What do you mean a lot has changed? Like a lot? Like,
I had a match that had a speaking segment within it. So it was the only reason I was in Gorilla sitting next to Vince during a match, because otherwise it'd just be producers. The writers have no business being in there. And so I'm sitting there waiting for this break to happen where Batista comes out and interrupts the match. And for the 6 minutes of wrestling before Batista enters, Vince didn't stop talking in Cole's ear. And Cole's calling the match. And the whole time Vince is like, don't forget to, you got to distract. You got to distract. And he's just like the whole time. And I'm like, got to distract. Like, how distract? This is insane. And Cole was just going with it every step. 6 minutes of just nonstop direction in his ear, nonstop. And I'm just on headset like, what is going on
right now? That's insane.
But Cole pulled it off. So I'm sure he's probably more relieved than anyone. Remember that photo of Nicole Kidman when she divorced Tom Cruise? And they had a picture of her coming out of the courthouse with her hands thrown up in the air. And she was like, yes!
That's exactly what's happening.
Bro, that's how a lot of those wrestlers are feeling right now.
Yeah, I gotta imagine. They're going, oh, what? Because even if you love Vince, there's an element of like fear and respect. And he really makes it clear who's in charge, you know?
Bro, I had big love for Vince, but I had nightmare days when I worked there.
Stressful nightmare days. Yeah, like it's like if you have like a dad who's just like a very powerful dad, it's like you love him, but it's like, ugh, it's a lot.
And when you know he's wrong, it's just like, oh my gosh, dude, why won't you listen, please?
All right. This was the bet match.
This was 50 Beans, former president. Recently deceased. A couple weeks ago. Ulysses S. Grant on the table. But you had an interesting cover, and I'd like for you to share it with the audience.
Well, here's what happened. This is exactly what happened. I literally put on Twitter, I go, me and Freddie, we got a bet. Who do you think's going to win? Roman. I got Brock Lesnar. He's got Roman Reigns. And I picked Brock because Brock's cool. You know, I like Brock. And he's going to be in Nashville where his new cowboy look is going to be pulled out. I don't know. I don't read the sheets. I don't do the stuff. So I was just like, I picked who I wanted to win, not who I thought would win. I put it on Twitter. Everybody just starts dunking on me. Everybody's like, yeah, oh, bro. God, you idiot. It's going to be Roman Reigns. And so I did like a little poll. It was like, 97% were like, Roman Reigns going to win.
You know, and Sable voted for you. That was it.
Yeah,
you
only had there Sable. Goes my money. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, all right, dang it. So then we get, I'm thinking, you know, you're talking trash to me about it. Everybody on the internet's talking trash to me about it. I was like, yeah, he's definitely going to win the bet. Dang it. And so then, because those people probably look at spoilers. I'm sure some of the people that voted look at the spoilers. So I get to the wrestling, because SummerSlam. And my buddies are, you know, they don't know much about wrestling. So they're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And I was like, I bet you $50 Brock Lesnar gets beat up, loses. And they were like, Brock Lesnar? Because, you know, they don't know a lot. They're going, that guy, the big guy? I go, yeah. And they go, I'll bet that. And I said, it's perfect. So I'm using it, Chris's money, to pay you. That's what I'm doing. Smart guy. I should have bet him 100.
You should have. You'd have made money.
Yeah, but it felt so dirty doing that to my friend that I was like, I'll just take the 50.
No, that's a nice play, bro. Respect. So this main event, the old fart in me wanted to hate it. And I thought it was wild. I thought it was awesome. Brock gets this grin on his face, which is this like, I don't give a shit grin and laugh. And sometimes it works. And sometimes you're like, right? Like when him and Taker had that match and Taker couldn't, and he's like, I didn't like it. Yeah. When he got on that, first of all, ladies and gentlemen who didn't see it, the man drove in on a giant, like, John Deere tractor. I don't know if it was a John
it's
Deere.
It's awesome. A big old red tractor.
Huge tractor. It was amazing. It was like milk truck status for Kurt Angle.
It was.
And he cruises in, and he's got this shit-eating grin, and he's chuckling, and they get into the match, and it's a last man standing. There's no rules. You get the 10 count, which in WWE is like 38 seconds long. So everybody always stands up and they're going back and forth. And the evil Usos, who are cousins of Roman Reigns, actually in real life, all part of that like Samoan family for you outsiders. They come in, they're the tag champs and they're beating up on Brock. Well, Brock's beating up on everybody. Actually, he's beating up Roman. He's beating them up. They're trying. Everybody's trying to beat up Brock. Everybody's trying to cheat. Austin Theory's saying what's up, and Brock Lesnar's killing everybody. This dude, you tell it. You were there. It had to be 10 times. Well,
when the tractor came out, we're all thinking, what are they going to do with this? Because it's a really unforgiving automobile. You know, you can rig a trash compactor to look like it's crushing Braun Strowman or whatever, you know? But you, like, with the tractor, it's like, well, what are they going to do with it? Like how are you going to... So at one point, he puts the bucket above the ring, and he jumps off of it to attack Roman, which was sick. And
at the start, yeah.
Very, very cool way to do that. Also, like, when I think of Brock, I know that he's jumped off the top ropes a few times and stuff, but I don't really think of him as like this athletic high flyer kind of guy. And it made us all go, oh yeah, like I forgot that he's capable of doing that kind of thing. So that was cool. But then they did one spot that they botched, but I get how on paper it would have looked great. They put Roman in the bucket, he raised it up and then dumped him out in the ring. But it didn't really work because, you know, it wasn't even as high as like a ladder would be, like in a ladder match. So it just kind of like when he dumped him out, it just kind of looked like it didn't even hurt or anything. So that was the one bad part about the tractor. But then towards the end of the match, he literally lifts up the ring with the bucket, and which I also thought would be a thing Vince wouldn't allow. Like, it makes me feel like
he's done crazy ring stuff, but you might be right. But he's done crazy ring stuff.
It looked so reckless, the way he just got under there and then like lifted. I mean, it looked insane.
Everyone in the ring, I don't give a shit laugh. It literally seemed like he's like, we're going to just see what happens. Screw it. Oh,
and you could see all the announcers on the side where they're holding their headphones and going like, because, you know, the ring's moving towards him a few feet when Brock's trying to get under it. And so, and then it's also kind of like, as it's tipping towards the announcers. So you kind of felt this like element of like, oh, this could go like really bad, you know, like usually when you watch a pro wrestling thing, you think these wrestlers are risking their bodies and their tendons and their ankles and wrists, and they can break bones and concussions, bleed all over the joint. That could happen at any time in any wrestling match, but we're never in danger. You know, like, when the tractor's going, you're thinking, oh, those fans, they might be really screwed here. This is a kind of a hairy situation. But it was pretty cool. We lifted it all up. And I actually I loved the big finish. I loved that they bury it. It was very comic book-esque. Like, yeah, just they put a bunch of crap on him. He's not going to get up.
How do you beat Thor? But here's the thing. I know some people were concerned with Brock losing a million times to, or three times to Roman. they protected Brock so well in this. He beat up everybody for 28 minutes. Then it took it was like watching Thor's Last Stand, right? Like, he may die, but because he fought everyone, Earth lives. And it felt like this awesome moment and just kind of showed how strong and what a beast he is. I want to touch on one thing you said at the beginning, because it was an old school lesson that Arn Anderson taught me that I've never forgotten. And when people say it, I always remember how true it is. He said, anything you bring to the ring with you as a wrestler is a promise to the crowd. And if you don't use it, you're bullshit. So he's like, if you bring a sword out there and you don't use it, why the hell did you bring it? If you bring your python out there and you don't use it, what was the point? And he said, it makes you look weak. So when you see that tractor driving out, your first question is a demand, a subliminal demand that a promise is being made and it must be kept. It's like, what are you going to do with this? And if you don't use it, why? Why'd you bring it out? So this leads us to our new segment, Favorite or Worst of the Week. And I paid a lot of money for that soundbite. That wasn't me. I was a professional singer. I just pushed that button and it just plays.
But it sounded nice, didn't it?
Well, he's a professional singer.
Money well spent. Sounds nice.
Favorite match of the week. This is easy for me. It opened the show, and I felt like at least three people got over. And that was Becky and Bianca at the SummerSlam, as the great Bret Hart would say. I love the way Becky got her over. I thought Becky got herself over. I thought they all got Bayley over. The other two women, you could argue, got a great rub off that as well. And to see five women in the ring and know that there's some story there and an opportunity to move forward with that kind of stuff got me excited. So that big match, also because they get more time at the pay-per-views than on regular TV. That's my match of the week or my favorite of the week. Do you have a favorite or a worst match of the week?
I'll keep it real simple because I gushed about it earlier. And I think it's all about misdirection. It's about like whatever surprises me. It's like if two guys are really good and they fight really well, I go, or wrestle really well, I go, wow, man, that was great. But that's what I expected. So I'm like, I'm harder on him for some reason. But it's when I get surprised. And Logan Paul did it again two times in a row, surprised me. I wanted to hate, and I loved everything he did. I loved the look. I loved the match. So I give it Logan Paul. That's the match of the week for me.
I got one honorable mention. It's an AE Dubs. Shout out to Will Hobbs and Ricky Starks. I hope they give these gentlemen a good story. I love to see a babyface Ricky Starks, good-looking dude that can wrestle, money on the mic. Will Hobbs looks like a mean, mean son of a bitch, and it can be a big opportunity for both of them. So that's my honorable mention. Shout out to you two gentlemen.
You know what wasn't the match of the week?
What?
Ric Flair and Jeff Jarrett.
It's tough, man.
The fans were going, "You still got it." I wanted to be, "No, you don't."
Oh, no, man. Flair, it's hard to watch people you loved as a kid when they're not at their best, right? Like, I remember seeing, like, the ESPN equivalent would be like, nobody liked watching Joe Namath play for the Los Angeles Rams. It was embarrassing, and he wasn't the same. And friend of the Federation in the show, Seth Green, was there in the flesh. He was sending me pictures all night long.
Was he criticizing it, or did he have a good time?
Seth Green does not have a critical bone in his body for any artist out there. He will only say kind things about
what a good guy.
Everyone. Well, when he was 22, he was different, and he learned his lesson. And as a grown man, he's grown up. He is not that dude. So he was just all love for everybody. Shout out to Ric Flair. Apologies. It's just, you know, I don't want to watch people I love at anything less than their best. I'd rather my final Flair match was, I got to be there, was when Shawn Michaels retired him. And it was a beautiful story they told in there. The "I'm sorry, I love you." That was so great. So I did not go see that. But shout out to Jeff Jarrett, man. It's going every, he could work wherever he pleases.
Jeff Jarrett's had a big weekend.
Wherever he'll be in Japan tomorrow, AEW on Wednesday, a TNA appearance on Thursday. Is TNA still on Thursdays? I don't watch TNA.
I don't know, but that's...
I heard he's going to be at a progress show next Friday.
He wants all wrestling, every pay-per-view to be in Nashville. That's what he wants.
Yeah, there's going to be a Lucha Vavoom in Nashville. He's on his way to that match next. Mr. Jeff Dye, you are by far the best on-site location wrestling journalist that this company has ever known. Week one,
week
baby.
Week one, and I'm happy to keep doing it for you, Freddie. Yeah, somebody's got to be there, you know?
You'll get to go to all of them, and I'll raise my kids.
Just going to go to every match.
It's a sweet deal. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to give us those 5-star reviews. You guys were awesome. You moved us to number one on iTunes last week. Next week, we dive deep into Monday Night Raw, AEW Dynamite, and SmackDown. Keep a lookout on social media, as we'll be asking you, the audience, to give us your opinions and questions on your favorite moment of the week, and have you featured on our Fan of the Week segment. Thank you all for listening to Wrestling with Amigos. Peace.
We love you.
This has been a production of iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.